Now, many people have heard of you, Jim, because of the movie, of course, that we all know, The Men Who Stared at Goats, and also your work, The First Earth Battalion. Tell us a little bit about all this. How did you get involved in this?
Well, in 1978, I was part of a think tank that the Army put together at the War College called Task Force Delta. And our job was to go and find innovative ways to help our soldiers and teams of soldiers survive basically on a battlefield that looked really lethal. And we were looking at facing off with the Soviet Army in Europe, and we were outmanned and outgunned. And a few very bright four-star generals said, you know, we've got to turn our troops loose in a creative way, get out of the box, and figure out how that individual is going to have the wits required to stay alive on a nuclear battlefield. So quickly as I can, I was in California working actually with Hollywood at the time as a public affairs officer, and I had three-day weekends, which I took the liberty to go around during a time when the America was sort of opening the blinds on the rest of the world. You know, we were sort of past Pop-Tarts and manufactured, you know, macaroni and cheese. All of a sudden, where we're studying Buddhism and energy-related things, and the hippies were talking about communes, basically village life again. Joseph Campbell was talking about the hero's journey. Esalen was inviting really interesting scholars from Asia and about, Alan Watts and company. And I just took the time I think I visited 100 different groups during about a one-year period. And at that point, there was a meeting at Fort Knox where our think tank was gathering, and I flew in. On the way in, I had a little psychic nudge occur to me. The word "the First Earth Battalion" simply popped into my head. Now, that's not usual for me. So during the rest of the ride, I puzzled what that meant. But when I stood up in front of the gathered scientists and generals and others to explain what I had discovered related to this question, I said, you know, gentlemen, I cannot give you another information briefing on human excellence, creativity, energy transfer, all of the psychic and paranormal things that we know exist, but we're not very well informed about. But since they changed the soldier's state of being, not his state of knowing or doing or having, I'm going to invite you to the Officers Club on Wednesday night and initiate you into a mythical unit called the First Earth Battalion. And during that initiation, I will transmit to you what I've learned. Well, that was left them rather bemused. But on Wednesday night, they did come to the club. They did take off their shoes. They walked into a darkened room that I had put a lot of plastic plants in, and a candle and a dollar bill on the table. And I had them begin by a toning activity, a mantra, group toning activity to unify the energy in the room, which I know works. And I said, we're going to now tone E for the earth. And they kind of giggled and got a little nervous because it was not an unorthodox activity for them. Yeah,
they're not used to that.
They're not used to that, and they don't want to do it wrong, but they did forget to breathe, and they did it wrong, and it came out crappy, and I chewed their butts. And because you can do that in the Army. And the second intoning was magic. The room shifted level. And then I proceeded to invite a fellow colonel out who did a Taekwondo kata, a dance of the warrior. So that established that we were in the warrior zone, but the precision and the grace of this guy was not typical of a military kind of an idea. Then I took the dollar bill. I explained the founding thoughts, some founding fathers' idea of basically taking on the spirit, finishing the order of the ages with the spirit, And I said, based on that, it looks like the new mission for the militaries of the world is to help the planet achieve solvency. And some other things happened. But to make it short, the end, I said, okay, this is my way of showing you how you inculcate a new state of being into people to give them a super normal understanding of their power. If we're going to face this nuclear battlefield, we have to go there. Think about it. See you in the morning.
So you basically helped set up their remote viewing program, it sounds like.
Not precisely, but what I did after that was create this manual, which, you know, this was the time of the Whole Earth Catalog. But I made a Whole Earth Catalog full of human excellence, which include a number of paranormal activities to give super consciousness. And that catalog was summarily printed and sent to 350 of the Army's brightest young officers who went pouring through it. And by the way, cherry-picking it for what they needed in their particular situation. There was no dogma here. And at the same time, DARPA and all of the scientific groups in the military sniffed this out, and they went, oh, we have permission to go way further than we've ever had permission to go before. So I didn't start the remote viewing system, but I sprung it loose. I was the crash dummy. I was the fool in the tarot deck that spilled the whole thing on the floor.
Did you know the people we all know, the Paul Smiths and folks like that?
Well, I know them now.
Okay.
I know them now, and I knew some of the early players, and I know what they were doing, but I was asking, and in the manual does ask everybody to go beyond time and space and to reach into the paranormal. George, let me tell you, when you're walking in the jungle and you can't see but 20 feet in front of you, it's like walking down a dark alley at night. Your hearing gets really good.
Yeah, it has to.
It has to. Your body turns into an antenna. It has to. And in combat, after the first day when I lost a guy, and I realized we were stumbling in there as dumb as the Redcoats back in the Revolution, marching in lines, making noise, saying, we're so big and bad,
yeah,
we're going to scare you away.
With drums behind them, you know.
And so before I knew it, I first of all, I shot everybody up. On the second day, we got stealthy. And by the end of the month, there were certain guys coming up to me as we would move into the jungle, and they would say, Lieutenant, hold it, hold it. I'm feeling something. Don't stop. Stop everything. And then I would send a couple of guys up, and almost every time we would find something that if we had blundered on would have just put us in an ambush. And when you're going even into a primitive village, if they're all dug in and only got 6 inches of their head sticking out of a hole, and you're walking fully 6 feet full of bravado, breaking leaves, the first volley, the first 30 seconds, are going to kill half the people you've got. And then what happens is the other half are down on their knees fixing the first half. You're completely decommissioned in one move. Now, we did a lot of clever things in Vietnam, but that was not one of them. And I would never put up with that again. And the Army heard from me time and time about that, that we have to get a lot more cunning. You can't just blunder your way in because you're making a lot of noise and blowing up a lot of things. And so the Army, and I spent a lot of time getting soldiers and officers out of classrooms and into simulations, and we now have, oh gosh, it's $100 million worth of simulations.